pulling out the coupe at the lot. Welcome into ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM. Angelo with you this morning. How's everybody doing? Tell me how you're doing when you give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. This show exists for a little bit of opinion talk, a lot of fun, but most importantly, it's for y'all out there. Forgot to take my mask off again. There we go. Brad was up here. I don't know what he has. So now we are ready to go. Like I said, give me a call, 381-1313. This show exists for you to call in, give you a little bit of weekend takes. I know we all love to call in through the drive-in Monday through Friday, but so much stuff happens during the week. For an example, game 5 of the NBA Finals was Friday night. Of course, anybody that knows me knows I'm a big LeBron James supporter, and there is no different. You know, it's weird they have to be a LeBron James supporter. Like, there are that many people that don't like the guy when he's just one of the best 4 basketball players to ever live. It's it's ridiculous. But I did think that he made the right play at the end of that game. When you pass out to a wide open player, now look, I think Danny Green, at the beginning of the season, I said the Lakers had a big three, that I really thought that Danny Green's ability to hit threes and play defense at the level that he had was very close to a, you know, like a Klay Thompson light. He's not Klay Thompson. I actually had to look that up. I was like, oh, is he Klay Thompson? No, Klay Thompson's a Hall of Famer. I know that might sound crazy, but you need to go look up Klay Thompson. You know, Klay Thompson nor Steph Curry has ever shot below 40% from three-point range in their entire career. That's not a career average. Technically, it is, but I mean, in any year from rookie to now, never shot below that. And I believe that Steph might, you know, quote-unquote, might have in the 5 games he played last year. If we're counting that, we're splitting hairs. Full seasons. But I digress. I'm really excited for game 6 tonight. I might talk about that here in a little bit. But there was something that I wanted to talk about a little more. Is that how can I start this? I think Patrick Mahomes is a fantastic quarterback. I think Patrick Mahomes is in the conversation for best quarterback in the league. Now, anybody that threw up their hands or scoffed, give me a call, 381-1313, 381-1313. And if you agree with me, I might lose you even more here in a second, but I'll bring it back around. I think right now he's not even the MVP of the league. I don't even think he's in the top 2 of the MVP of the league right now. Maybe not even top 3. I would say right now that Russell Wilson is the MVP leader in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks. Highest quarterback rating in the league, 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's playing out of his mind. And he really reached his prime the last 2 years. Now, he was good before. Not saying that. But he has reached his prime. He's unbelievable. Number 2 in the MVP race right now, I would say Aaron Rodgers. Y'all can say I'm biased because I'm a Packers fan, but that's just, I like to say it like this, the proof is in the pudding. And it'll be fun to see how Green Bay comes back from the bye week with Devontae Adams healthy. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers done nothing short of amazing this year. He's currently 4-0, 70.5% completion percentage, which would be the highest of his career when playing a full season. 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, quarterback rating of 128.4, and that not leading the league is all you need to know about how good Russell Wilson's been. 128.4 leads the league in net yards per attempt and average net yards per attempt, which are just fancy advanced statistics to say when he throws the ball, it's essentially a first down. The guy has been unbelievable. As much as I'd like to say that, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, 3rd MVP, which he very well could, not quite there yet. Not quite there yet. Because he's had a lot of help from that run game, and I think a lot of it's almost schematically. 3rd in the MVP, I'd probably say Josh Allen right now. I know the defense has a lot to do. Well, actually, no, it doesn't. If you look at the points given up by the Buffalo Bills defense, it's all been pretty much Josh Allen. I put Josh Allen 3rd, Patrick Mahomes 4th. With all that said, I do think the Chiefs are going to go undefeated this year. That's right. I think the Chiefs are going to go 16-0. I actually think they are going to go 19-0. I think the Chiefs are going to be undefeated and win the Super Bowl this year. I think they're that good. So when you see a team as dominant as the Chiefs are right now, you kind of, you know, expect their starting quarterback to be as good as he is, but to be considered the greatest of all time, even if you're talking talent-wise, you have a case. But let me start like this. And this is the way I see it. Patrick Mahomes, through his first 2 years, well, technically he sat out a year. Okay, so let's throw that in there. He had a whole year to sit. I'm not going to hold it against him. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. He sat out his first year, comes back, second year, first year as a starter, wins the MVP. 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Home game against the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Best record in the AFC. They're a D Ford offsides away from Tom Brady going 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions, losing the game, and setting up for Rams-Chiefs 2. Because that Rams-Chiefs game that the Rams won on Monday Night Football is the best Monday Night Football game I ever remember. I wish I could think of one off the top of my head that's a little more solid, but that's about as good as you're going to get. What was the final score? 55-51? Unbelievable contest. Okay. So Mahomes gets all the way to the AFC Championship game, and, you know, D4 goes off sides. New England wins the coin toss, never gets the ball back. I don't disagree with those overtime rules. I think that where everybody says, oh, each team should be able to possess the ball. No, they don't. Because if you get your defense on the field and your defense cannot stop the other team from scoring, that's football. That makes sense to me. Because why continue a game when the other unit can't stop the other team's offense on a drive? It's the way it is. Play better defense. I'm not sorry about it either. The overtime rules are fine in the NFL. Because if you hold them to a field goal or a punt, your offense does get a chance to get the ball back. The only thing you're not allowed to do in an NFL overtime is let the other team score a touchdown. And if you do that, you don't deserve to win the game. So, you know, both sides ballport, but neither here nor there. Patrick Mahomes, first year in the books, an offsides away from making the Super Bowl in his MVP season. Okay. Second year, he comes back, gets hurt. Comes back, gets in the playoffs. Pretty big comeback against San Francisco. I didn't see that happening. Do I think Patrick Mahomes should have been Super Bowl MVP? No, I do not. I thought that maybe he was the fifth best player on the Chiefs that game. Not saying that he isn't amazing. Not saying that he wasn't their MVP, their team MVP. That team goes as far as Patrick Mahomes goes. But in that game specifically, he was not the most valuable player on the field for them. In that one game, could have given it to Tyreek Hill, could have given it to Damian Williams. I digress. Not really. That's something that I will never take away from him, but I will always kind of color that part in. And everybody that was watching the game at the time does agree. A little bit of conspiracy mode. But so Patrick Mahomes going in to year 3. Is off to a pretty torrid start. His numbers mimic a little bit of some of the others I have said. He is currently 4-0, 67.3% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 114.1. It's pretty great. It's pretty great. Not as good as the other guys this year, though. And let's look at those other guys. So when comparing Patrick Mahomes' GOAT case already to some of these guys, well, let's look at Russell Wilson, the guy that I think is the leader of MVP right now. he has a career 9-6 record in the postseason. He got a Super Bowl in his second year in the league as a starter in his second year. Even though everybody said that the defense carried that team, and the defense was very vital to what they did. But Russell Wilson still gets a Super Bowl second year, probably going to win an MVP this year if he keeps up this pace. 23 touchdowns, 11 interceptions in the postseason. Quarterback rating had four times over 196.7. So Russell Wilson, 2 years in the league, he had two Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl ring. Not quite Patrick Mahomes, but pretty good. Let's look at another quarterback that's in there. MVP race, Aaron Rodgers. His first two seasons as a starting quarterback, one Pro Bowl. So, not on Patrick Mahomes' level in the first two seasons like Mahomes. But in his third year, he won a Super Bowl. And then in the next year, he won an MVP in what I consider the greatest quarterback season I have ever seen from Aaron Rodgers, from any quarterback. There's Peyton Manning's 04, Peyton Manning's 13. Some people wanted to put Mahomes's in there. I think Tom Brady's 2007. Some people would say Tom Brady's 2010. Not as keen on that one, but oh well. Dan Marino's 84. That's a good name. Dan Marino. Because if you look at Patrick Mahomes' case as the GOAT, at least early on, you have to go back historically to compare to someone that had this much success early on. Dan Marino, in his second year, he won the MVP of the league and made the Super Bowl. Dan Marino that year really did have the first modern NFL passing season, as he threw for 48 touchdowns, led the league 5,000 yards, and blew out every category. His only year, actually, of a quarterback rating over 100. I mean, it was about as modern gets. And you say, well, in his first 2 years, which his first year, he didn't even start all of the games. I'd like to remind you that Dan Marino then ripped off three first-team All-Pros after his first year. So when we talk about Patrick Mahomes, yes, you know what? Patrick Mahomes does have the Super Bowl ring. Yes, he does have the Super Bowl MVP. He still has a little longer to go in case of Dan Marino. Because as much as the rings matter, those three first-team All-Pros, I mean, five Pro Bowls, three first-team All-Pros, an MVP, and a Super Bowl appearance. Dan Marino was very much on the path to be the GOAT. But if you look at that, everything starts to fall apart after that. He's a first-team All-Pro, and 86 team is only 8-8. 7-5, 6-10, 8-8, 12-4, 8-8, 11-5. 4-1, 10-6, 9-5, 7-6, 9-7. He kind of becomes Eli Manning after that, at least in the terms of quarterback record. And after that first 5 years, Marino only made four Pro Bowls. And that's over an 11-year stretch. That's pretty, as a guy that grows up and everybody talks about how great Dan Marino was, it's very interesting that really his prime was his beginning. So that's an interesting way to look at that. And I looked up other quarterbacks. When you talk about the GOAT for me, I don't care what people say. Peyton Manning is the best quarterback I've ever seen. The greatest quarterback, quote unquote. The one, of course, when you have six rings and nine Super Bowl appearances is Tom Brady. When it comes to the greatest. But Tom Brady is not the best quarterback of all time. And usually when we say GOAT, as much as you want to say that it is the player with the most rings, it's not. We talk about who is the best. Who is the best? So Peyton Manning, I find Aaron Rodgers to be up there. But his resume is only going to get worse over time, I think. I think it's going to be very good. I don't think Aaron Rodgers will go away, but I think the further we get away from the modern time, I think more he'll become more of a legend than a guy that, you know, people look at Pro Football Reference and go, man, that guy has like a definite case. No, he won one Super Bowl. He won one Super Bowl MVP. He has two MVPs. And a lot of double-digit wins, though. And we'll see what happens this year. If he wins an MVP and wins a title at age, how old is he? 37? I'm just going to flip back and look that up real quick. Aaron Rodgers is 36 and 314 days. Close enough. But I looked up other quarterbacks. Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes far ahead of Peyton Manning's beginning. Tom Brady, he had that Super Bowl, but Tom Brady didn't win an MVP until 6 years into his career. Patrick Mahomes already has Super Bowl MVP, and that. You look at Joe Montana, slow starter. Steve Young, took him a long time to get in that position, but essentially has reached that same parallel of success that, you know, you look at a Patrick Mahomes and an Aaron Rodgers. You look at those guys. And when you look at all the great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, there's not one that has the start that Patrick Mahomes has. But there is one quarterback that has the resume early on that I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to end up imitating. And it's someone where stylistically he will also end up imitating. Now, this quarterback, it took until his years 26, 27, 28 to get to what Patrick Mahomes has done already. And that's why I said Patrick Mahomes has the greatest start of any quarterback in NFL history in terms of building a resume to put up there as the GOAT. But there was a quarterback in the 1990s that, even though it took him 4 years to get there, by the age 28, he had a Super Bowl. He had another Super Bowl appearance, so he made two Super Bowls, and he won three straight MVPs. Three straight. Never in history has a player won three straight except for this man. And he is someone that is never considered the GOAT. Consider a top 10 quarterback of all time, but gets often forgotten when it comes to all these debates, and that is Brett Favre. And it's a little funny that Brett Favre came out at the end of the week and said that Josh Allen, you know, could be the best quarterback in the AFC East for 10 years. And, you know, he gave Josh Allen a lot of praise. But Patrick Mahomes, young Brett Favre, is how I see Patrick Mahomes' career going. Obviously, the first year in Atlanta, Brett Favre, first 3 years of his career, essentially is a couple wins above 500. It wasn't until his age 26 season, ironically, with Mike Holmgren, which Andy Reid is a disciple of, as in, this is just the late 2010s, early 2020s version of Holmgren and Favre. From 1995 to 1997, Brett Favre racks up a Super Bowl win, three straight MVPs, and if I'm doing my math right and I carry the one, another Super Bowl appearance during that stretch. And early on, in that stretch, obviously, Brett Favre, during the 1995 playoffs, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Loses in the NFC Championship game. 1996, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, championship. 1997, Super Bowl appearances, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So you're looking at an 18-6 touchdown interception ratio there. 3-1, not bad. So you're looking at a quarterback that not only stylistically, not only in the terms of lineage, you're looking at accolades, being the direct comparison for Patrick Mahomes. Now, why is, after that start, the way everybody remembers every other quarterback, that Brett Favre isn't appreciated? Well, after that, he became known as a bit of a gunslinger. And during the Mike Sherman era in Green Bay, he pretty much came out as a generally a good but average, you know, above average, but, you know, generally good. And it's almost unfair, the narrative, because if you look after that stretch, he still had an 0-1, 0-2, 2-12 in 4 years. And he had 2-10 in 6 years and a couple stinkers before 2007, where Mike McCarthy completely rejuvenated Brett Favre. And then he had that great Minnesota year in 09 where he went 12-4. But history doesn't shine politely on Brett Favre like it does Patrick Mahomes right now. And that's what I want people to remember, is that as good as these guys start out, there's always something to take that shine off the apple. And for everybody getting caught up into the hysteria of Patrick Mahomes mania, everybody needs to stay level-headed. Now, there is a chance that he becomes the GOAT. He has the resume to start out ahead of everybody else. But when that rookie contract is over and you can't afford Tyreek Hill, you can't afford Travis Kelce, you can only pick and choose who you can afford on that team, because Patrick Mahomes is starting to make that big money. He's starting to make that $500 million over 13 years money. And you start looking at the finances, they're not going to be able to build a team around him as easily as they did during his rookie contracts. Andy Reid's not going to be coaching forever either. Now, maybe Eric Bieniemy comes in and he's the next head coach and he keeps the ball rolling. But, you know, rarely does that work. Jim Caldwell, Tony Dungy kind of worked. I'm sure there are some other examples off the top. But I just don't think that we should all be so quick to rush Patrick Mahomes into the GOAT spot just yet. Because if you look at history, there are plenty of players that, at least, of course, over their careers, that have a better resume. And that's why you know, also need to be patient. But that have had this trajectory that aren't even considered in the top three of quarterbacks. So when it comes to that narrative, maybe we should just focus on Patrick Mahomes being the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And that's the way I see it. Coming right after this, we'll talk UK Mississippi State on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Angelo Carriero with you on the Sunday morning. Give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313. As I'm scrolling through some of the headlines on ESPN during the break, some of this stuff gets me. There's two things that bother me before I move on to Kentucky, Mississippi State. Number one thing that bothers me is everybody getting mad at the Tennessee Titans. Like, the Tennessee Titans, one, wanted to get COVID. But number two, acting like that they should be some fail. I don't know how the NFL PR team is so good at making people believe that it's always the employee's fault, not the employer's fault, that this stuff happens. It's like everybody on Twitter I see this morning and over the last couple days, and it's bothered me a little bit, but now it's boiled over with what I saw talking about the Titans should cancel their season, that everything should be blamed on the Titans. How about if you're the NFL and you're these teams to actually take it seriously? But you're not brave enough to. You can't, I mean, to even think that you could get, what, 51 players per team plus coaching staffs to commit to a bubble and multiply that by 32, carry the one. I'm not a mathematician. I'm a broadcaster. But to have the idea that if you looked at what happened to baseball immediately, I didn't see the backlash to the Marlins like that, like cancel the Marlins season, get the Marlins out of here. They had an unbelievable outbreak. Or the St. Louis Cardinals. even less murmur. St. Louis Cardinals had it, and I didn't even realize it half the time. Like, I knew it happened, and then 2 weeks later, I was like, why is the Cardinals record not the same as everybody? Oh, yeah, they got COVID. That's how under-talked about it was. But you know what the similarity between baseball and football is? You guessed it. It's no bubble. You're traveling from state to state, airplanes, you're traveling buses, you're traveling all over the country to play these games, and you have to absolutely expect there to be positive tests. I don't think it's realistic to expect to go that long without an outbreak. So to blame Tennessee, like they are the only team that got COVID, not like they're not treating New England that way. They're not treating Kansas City that way. They're not treating, let's see, there was another team that I believe had a player that contracted it, but that's going to happen. I mean, if you don't do the NBA-style bubble, you're going to get COVID. I mean, that's not being mean. That's just being cut and dry. That's the proof, again, is there. So I don't appreciate people getting so worked up at the Titans when the NFL and the players should have situated that in the offseason. Like, hey, we're going to have to play a bubble. What, you know, why don't you get four bubbles, eight teams, put them in primetime places, put, you know, L.A., put one in Miami, put one in New York, and put one in Dallas or something, you know? Hit those. Take eight teams per and have them play and then test everybody and rotate them. And I understand that if NFL players don't want to be, you know, locked down for that long away from their families, then fine. And if the NFL owners don't want to pay for that, then fine. I don't think that the traveling and stuff is that big of a deal in the terms of our consumption of watching this. I don't think it's necessary. But I think it's when they accepted that and we accept that, that you have to absolutely expect this to happen. So to be so upset at specifically the Tennessee Titans is beyond me. So when you look at it here in the future, just know that Tennessee was the unlucky one. Do you think they want COVID? Do you think they wanted to bring that back to their families? Do you think that that's what they were aspiring to do? And you could say, oh, the Titans were very negligent and purposefully negligent about it. You know, big surprise. Name one person that you know that's not. Name one person under 30 that you know that's not. What about the guy that couldn't do his SNL thing? Morgan Wallen, I think, is his name. Didn't know his name beforehand, though. He got good pub out of it. He was caught in a Tuscaloosa, Alabama bar drinking and kissing girls. I do the same thing. I'm sorry. I know it seems irresponsible. Now, I do wear my mask all the time. I do it in public places, all of that. But, you know, he's young. He's rich. He's got clout. People, you know, girls want to be with him, all that. You can't just sit here and tell me that that's something that you would be too good to make a decision. Because I know that everybody's human. So are the Tennessee Titans. They're young, they're under 30 millionaires. Just let that sink in. Nick Saban, after Ole Miss puts up 642 yards on Alabama, Nick Saban accuses Ole Miss of stealing hand signals. I think that's childish. Lane Kiffin, you know, they beat Ole Miss. So to go straight to, we've never given up yards like that, they had to have been stealing hand signals. You know, not like Lane Kiffin hadn't been there, and that Lane Kiffin is a tremendous football mind. I mean, he was one of the youngest head coaches of all time in NFL history when he went to Oakland in the late 2000s. He was the co-offensive coordinator at USC, I think in his 20s, under Pete Carroll. During that run. I mean, it's just, I think it was, yeah, him and Norm Chow, I believe, and then Norm Chow went to Hawaii. Anyways, for Nick Saban to say that, it's just kind of childish. Anyways, I can't stay as long as that. Mississippi State, Kentucky last night. Kentucky, defeats Mississippi State 24-2, handing Mike Leach his first ever game where his offense did not score a point. Mike Leach, in his head coaching history, has never gone a game without scoring an offensive point. That's absolutely saying something. Because this is a very precipitous fall. I think that Kentucky has a tremendous defense. And at least, I'll say at least when it comes to that front seven. The secondary, or the front six, whatever you want to call it. You know, the secondary needs some work still, even though I thought the secondary played well last night. I don't think you can look at that game and say that anybody on the defense played poorly because they didn't allow a point as a unit. So, I do think that Mississippi State more or less has self-destructed, that they honestly could use, whenever their bye week is, they could use it now to rebuild this team. Because that was obviously a team just absolutely shaken to their core. I would say as well that the six turnovers are going to be obviously impossible to replicate. But some of those turnovers were just either just singular instances of greatness, like when Boogie Watson, the guy had a touchdown catch and Boogie just took it away. I mean, that wasn't an interception. That was a play of the year. That was a thievery of the football. That guy had it, and he was like, "No, you don't. I do." That was a great play. The Josh Pascal play, I think anybody but KJ Costello is going to not let Josh Pascal intercept that ball, which his injury is really going to be what to track. He was ended up apparently hurting his knee and was doubtful for the rest of that game. It'll be interesting to see where he is, because I think he is the best player on the team. And Kentucky really can't be without him. Again, six turnover. I think there were some good things, though. Why DeAndre Square was lined up on a wide receiver deep, I'm not in that trip set that was at the bottom. And whenever route combinations, it is to get those matchups. It is to try to confuse the defense and get a linebacker. But what a great play by Kelvin Joseph to be able to flip his hips and take that interception. Kelvin Joseph, the cornerback, I don't know is going to work out. But I'd really like to see maybe Kelvin Joseph, the free safety, like a roaming free safety. Maybe move Yusuf into a nickel position and then move maybe Devontae outside, or move the safeties around a little bit. I'm just saying in situations where Kelvin Joseph can be a roaming free safety. I liked that. But that play I can see being a potential for turnovers. The linebackers make it. And by the way, what a special moment for the day that Chris Oates comes home, for the second turnover of the game, for Jamin Davis to get the interception in Chris Oates' jersey. I don't care who you are, that's a special moment. And if you all saw the Facebook picture of Chris Oates, it doesn't look good. And it was really heartbreaking. For those that don't peruse Twitter that haven't seen the picture, Chris Oates and his brother, Chris Oates is in an electronic wheelchair. He looks pretty thin, which is to be expected. But he was in the electronic wheelchair and he had a pad in his hand that had like letters on it. And I would say that is to help him communicate, would be my assumption. You know, you're never supposed to assume, but that would be my assumption. And it is heartbreaking for a young man that seemed like he was a very good and sweet kid, and to have such a promising, I called Josh Pascal the best defensive player, but if Chris Oates was 100% healthy coming into the season, he would have been the best defensive player on the team. He might have been the best player on the team. And I mean that. That's how good Chris Oates is. Still is. Regardless. It is very heartbreaking to see. And I hope more for just a full recovery of whatever he's going through, or at least the ability to live a normal life for himself and his family. That was heartbreaking to see. And I wish Chris Oates and his brother and his family and the whole team that loved him and everybody that wears his jersey and everybody at UK that is, you know, emotionally hurting because of what's happened to him, you know, my thoughts go out to you. It's very sad. Reminds you that it's a little bigger than football sometimes, and life is. But it was good to see Kentucky pull out a 24-2 win. Here's my last thing before I'll get out of here and go to my NFL picks, which, by the way, doing pretty all right so far. You know, three double-digit wins in a row, even with COVID and whatnot. But I lost Thursday night. I picked Tampa Bay over the Bears, and that didn't happen. How many downs is it? All right, that's right. So I see people online saying things like, all I've seen for weeks, when I criticize Terry, like coming through and just saying, hey, I don't think he's the guy, weeks on end, it's always this type of groupthink shaming that, oh, you're not a supporter, you don't like the team, you don't like him, blah, blah, blah. This is Terry Hive. And I'm like, all right, like I don't respect that thinking, and I don't respect that opinion. But I appreciate that you support the young man as the starting quarterback. Not that I don't support the young man as a football player, but I thought maybe it's time to like get a different passer in there. And now after week three, now I see people coming out, and now it's in vogue. Oh, now it's time to replace Terry. Now it's time. So not like I didn't see it at the beginning of the year after the Auburn game. Now it's okay because you've seen enough. Now, actually, that would just make me more on the hoof, by the way, because you actually watch what you see, and instead of coloring it in however you want to color it in, and I'm not talking to you directly. I'm talking to the people that said this, because I saw a tweet this morning that said, I've supported Terry, but now it's time to make the change. Well, you know, it's been time to make the change just because, you know, you wanted something to happen and it didn't. That's like in life. We all have expectations and we all have wants. And we all try to force what we want to happen onto whatever it is that we think can make that happen. Whether it's a relationship and you're with someone that you want to be the perfect wife or husband, and so you force that, or the job that you think is exactly what you wanted that you worked towards, but you get in there and you don't really love it as much as you thought you would. But that's what I've worked for. It's got to work out. You know, I feel like these people have the same mindset when it comes to that. And I'm sorry. And honestly, the more we get down into the season, the more that I don't even want him to be out of the offense, period. So where some of these people are saying that now Terry should be out of the starting quarterback position, now I'm kind of like, let's make it a platoon. And I really believe that. I think that Terry should still get around half the snaps. Why? Man, watching him run the football, that's a threat. That's a weapon. I mean, like, I'm going to be honest, he might have more straight line speed than Lynn Bowden did. When on that one run last night where he got wide open and he was just long leg sprinting, for a quarterback to do that, that's a weapon and that's a threat. Now, do I want him in there down 14? No. Bring in Bo. Bring in Joey, which we got our first glimpse of Joey Gatewood. And, you know, I think they are excited about Joey. But that doesn't mean that the whole team has to go to Joey Gatewood and Terry Wilson's out of the picture. I think very well that you can make a style to where you have more passing sets. You want to put in Joey. When you want to more do time of possession and control the game, you can put in Terry. I'm not saying Terry doesn't have to throw a single pass, but when he needs to throw more than 10, I'd like somebody else in there. But I think there is absolutely a place for Terry right now as a runner. And if they want to bring in Joey Gatewood to be a passer or Bo Allen, that's cool. I think that would make the team more successful going forward. But I just think it's a little, I think it's a little moving the narrative and going with the herd a lot of times with some of these opinions. And just for people to pick and choose, you can't choose to not support Terry after more evidence. Because you've already shamed. Now, if you didn't shame people, then fine. You're allowed to change your opinion when new evidence is presented. But when you shame people for their thoughts and then you adapt a similar thinking, then you're just a bully. And then you're just someone that doesn't have that type of, I don't know, that type, that just I'll leave it at this. You gotta reap what you sow, and you gotta stick by with what you said whenever you go that strong. So fully admit you're wrong, do all that, but make sure your apologies are as loud as your confession. All right, on the other side of this, we're going to do picks here on NFL picks for the week on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Stick around with Angelo. Can we just talk? Can we just talk about Angelo Carriero with you here on a Sunday morning, baby, and I love that song. That is a shower of refreshment. And now I'm looking at, I'm trying to find where I put my record for the week last week. I know I've got it here somewhere. Let's see. Don't mean to... Okay, how about we just talk about this? The games this week, I know that I am 4-0 right now. 4-0 on the lock of the week. So if you do a Survivor poll, I picked a different team every week. I believe the teams that went New England in the first week, San Francisco in the second week, it was Tampa Bay in week 3 and Baltimore in week 4. So if you followed this, you still get to keep the Chiefs. You've kept the Packers. You've kept Seattle, some of these really good teams. And so that should be at least a little, let's see. Okay, I'm just trying to get track of these. 3-7-5. So I was 8-5, Packers and Chiefs won, so 10-5 with the cancellation of the game. So 10-5 last week, and that was after going 31-16-1. Okay, so that would be, what is that, 41-21-1. Let's just say that. Let's just say that's what I am on the year. Let's see, this week it has a little, it started off obviously poorly. Tampa Bay lost to Chicago. I picked Tampa, so I start down in the hole 0-1. This week is, the games this week are, if you have something to do, it's raining outside, so I guess, but like, if your wife wants something, you to do something around the house, just do it today. I don't think you're going to miss out on much, and you'll see that when we go on, but here we are. NFL picks, straight up picks, money line bets, if you want to do them, but this is just a, do I know what I'm talking about? It's a weekly reminder if I know or don't know what I'm talking about. And it seems like I know what I'm talking about 66% of the time, which is sounds about right with me in my life as well. Let's see. Carolina at Atlanta. Last year, the Browns were the team for me that I could never get in the pulse on. I just blew it every single time with the Browns. I could pick them to win or lose, and the Browns would always do the opposite. Just because I picked them, it was the way it felt like. And that team for me this year is the Atlanta Falcons. I believe that I picked them the first 3 weeks. Obviously, I picked Green Bay over Atlanta. But the first 3 weeks, I picked Atlanta or the team. Yeah, I picked Atlanta, and they lost every time. So today, I'm picking Carolina. Atlanta's going to have to prove it to me. If Atlanta loses this game, I don't see how Dan Quinn's really made it this far. I think Arthur Blank's a really good owner, and he's been very faithful to Dan Quinn. Matt Ryan might be washed up. I really think that after watching that Green Bay game. If there was a year that Atlanta should go 0-16 or close to it, tank for Trevor might be the year for them and make that transition smooth. So I'm taking Carolina. Las Vegas at Kansas City. I already said I think Kansas City's going 16-0, 19-0. Taking Kansas City. Arizona at the New York Jets. I'm going to take the Cardinals here, but Arizona's play recently has worried me a little bit, and I think that anybody that's watched it, you lose to the Panthers, and you kind of have some not-so-hunky-dory performances, you get that way, but I think they have a ton of potential to still achieve, so I'm going to take Arizona. Philadelphia at Pittsburgh. This one really seems like a game that you'd think that Pittsburgh would be a heavy favorite. I'm really on a toss-up on this one. I think that Philadelphia has talent. I think that Pittsburgh's defense is very good, but I still wonder exactly how good their offense is. I want to say Philadelphia. If it was a betting line, I would take Philadelphia to cover the spread, but I just can't bring myself to pick Philadelphia. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. Rams at Washington. This would be my lock of the week if Washington didn't make a quarterback switch. That always worries me. West Coast team going to the East Coast, taking the Rams, but not my lock of the week. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson was held out of practice a lot this week. I feel like that it doesn't matter. Either way, Baltimore's winning that game. And if I hadn't already selected Baltimore, they would probably be my lock of the week, but I already picked the Ravens, so I kind of want to do something different if you're following in Survivor Pool. Got Jacksonville at Houston. Give me Jacksonville. Houston, prove it to me. But new coaching and stuff, that makes it hard, especially with the talent of Deshaun Watson and some of those guys. You know what? I'm switching that. I'm going Houston. I don't know. That's scary. Yeah, I think of J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson against Jacksonville. It doesn't sit right with me. And Houston might be the next team that kind of proves me wrong. So I'll take Houston, Miami at San Francisco. Give me San Francisco. Indianapolis at Cleveland. This should actually be a really fun game. I really wish Andrew Luck was playing in it. I still can't get over he's not the quarterback. That defense for Indianapolis is very good. I wonder when I'm going to finally start to catch up to it. And I feel dirty picking the Browns, but I'm going to pick the Browns. Here's my lock of the week. New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys. I don't feel good about this lock of the week. I was for sure on the other ones. This one, it's just the best out of a bad selections of lock of the week. I will take Dallas as my lock of the week this week. And it's a way you could still keep Kansas City, you could still keep Green Bay, you could still keep that rolling. I just don't think the Giants have it right now, no matter what situation Dallas's defense is in. Minnesota at Seattle, I think that's a closer game, but I am going to pick Seattle. Monday night, Los Angeles Chargers at the New Orleans Saints. I know that the Saints don't look great. Saints at home against this that Chargers defense against Drew Brees is going to give that old man some trouble. And Justin Herbert looks fly, but I'm going to take New Orleans. All right, running a little over here. So Buffalo at Tennessee looks like it'll be postponed. Denver at New England looks like it's going to be postponed. Detroit and Green Bay on bye week. So I'm going to follow that. If I need to add a pick, I will. But you can follow me at Angelo Media Lex to keep up with me. All the program that I'm doing, talking about Varsity Game Night, LCA at Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass won 40-6 in that game. Very fun game to be at. You'll be able to follow me at Angelo Media Lex to keep up with all of that and keep track of my picks. Lock of the week, Dallas. And hopefully you're another week surviving your survivor pool. Thank you for listening to Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. Got NFL all day, and there ain't nothing better than that, is there? Have a good one, everyone, and stay safe. I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble.